Yud Beis Adar Rishon, Sunday the 21st of February, Rabbi Joseph Perlman, Ketores. This week's Torah Away has been sponsored, Lichvod Simchas HaBar Mitzvah of Tzvi Lerner. Mazel Tov.
Shalom Aleichem to everyone, and it's nice to be back, and thank you to the organizers for inviting me to be back on the Torah Away again. I was told to take a topical subject, and obviously the most topical subject is the Sedra. In the Sedra you've got many, many different aspects, very, very interesting things in this week's Sedra. But I thought I would choose something which is a bit of a hot potato in a way, and that is the Amiras Ketores. Now, Ashkenazim do not say Ketores during the week. The Sfarim say it twice. And when I say Ashkenazim, I'm saying that's my minhag is Ashkenaz, but there are Ashkenazim in Hagim which are different. Some say it in Shachris before it as part of the Korbanos, and they don't say it again. I've actually set out here 14 questions. There are more, but I thought this would be quite sufficient for half an hour. And I'm going to go through the questions, and then we will see how we can get round it. I've said here the first, in the Nusach Sfarad, the Brisa of Pitamak Torah is said twice in Shachris, which is just what I've just said, once in the Korbanos and once before Oleinu. Why do they bother repeating it? You don't normally say something twice. You've already said it in Korbanos, so why on earth say it a second time? That's the first question, and that's a question on Nusach Sfarad. At Mincha, they also say it once in the Korbanos before Shemoneh Esrei, but they don't say it again after Oleinu at Mincha. Now, if you've done it twice in Shachris, once before and once afterwards, why is Mincha any different according to their Nusach? As I said before, we Ashkenazim don't say it at Mincha either. We don't say it. Well, we don't normally say Korbanos, but if you did say Korbanos, we wouldn't say Pitamak Torah. Even those Ashkenazim who do say Korbanos will not be saying Pitamak Torah at Mincha. But the question is on the Sfarad, why they don't say it twice at Mincha. Thirdly, in Nusach Ashkenaz, we do not say it at all during the week. Why not? Well, we just said we don't say it, but there's got to be some reason why we don't say it. We say Parshas HaTomid, we say Parshas HaKiyah. Those people who do say Korbanos, there are some, it's true, who say just Parshas HaTomid, Ezeo Mekoimon, and the Rabbi Shmuel. The reason for that, by the way, is of course every day you're supposed to say three types of learning, as the Gemara says in Kiddushin, Shlish b'Mikra, Shlish b'Mishna, Shlish b'Gemara. So the Mikra, we choose the Korban Tomid, because that's the most appropriate from the Torah, it fits in with the Korbanos. The Shlish b'Mishna, we take a Zahu Mekoimon. Do you know why that particular chapter was chosen? Well, one answer is, of course, it talks about all the different korbanos, but it could be another one. The answer, the beautiful answer is, that's the only peirik in Shas where there's no machlokas between the Tanoim. And that's the seal for the day, you should realize, to try to avoid machlokas as far as possible. Even though we're talking Torah machlokas, which is L'shem Shemayim, no, that's perfect. Nonetheless, if you can get away with a heskam, with haskama between the Talmidei Chachamim, there's nothing better than that. And therefore we say Ezer Mekoimon as the Mishnah. And then the Brisa of Rabbi Yishmael, although it's a Brisa, it's not Gemara as such, they chose that because that gives you all the different the ways that Chachamim were learning, and that's Pshat Gemara. Gemara is to learn out certain things from other things. It's got Gzeira Shavah, you've got the Kal V'Chomer, you've got Klal Parashah. The only thing which is missing is the Hekesh. And that's a subject on its own. Why in the Brisa of Rabbi Yishmael you've got the Shlosh Esrei Midas, and one of the most important Midas in Shas is the Hekesh. Where's the Hekesh gone? Okay, that's a separate issue. According to some, the Hekesh is included, like Rashi says somewhere, that the Hekesh is included in the subject of Gzeira Shavah. That's one answer. And we're not going into that now. But the point is, we see that in Davening we say this. Now, there are other people who say, if we're already saying Korbanos, well, let's say the other Korbanos. We say the Kiyar and the older Vayadabers. And they say, well, if you're already doing Korbanos, you better put the Ketores in as well. And we have the Ketores. However, the minig that I have got is, even if you do say those karbonos when there's time, you know, when you're not rushing, you're not late, we do not say ketores b'shita. We do not say the ketores even before davening. So there are, as I say, different minhagim. So that needs explanation. Number four. I've mentioned that. Some, however, do say this, the ketores in karbonos, but not after Shmoneh Esrei. So we need to understand the difference between the two minhagim in Ashkenaz. On Shabbos, everyone says it after Musaf. Now, that's the wrong place to say it. The place to say the ketores is at the end of the korbanos. So why do we put after Musaf? Ketores was certainly before Musaf. It was after Shacharis. So why on Shabbos do we say, and everyone says it, Ashkenaz and Sephard. Why should Shabbos be different? And if you're going to say it on Shabbos, why say it in the wrong place? After Musaf. Right? Now, number six. As the Ketores followed both the Tomecher Shachar and the Tomecher Ben Rabbayim, why do we not also say it after Mincha? If you're going to say it on Shabbos anyhow, and you're saying it on Shabbos, for whatever the reason might be, it might, somehow or other, it's different from the rest of the week, why Davka on Shabbos Shacharis? Mincha is also a time. Next. What's the next one? Oh, neither Nusa Sfarad nor Nusa Ashkenat say it after Musaf on Yom Kippur. Why is Yom Kippur different from the rest of the year? You know, it's not as if you're rushed. There usually is plenty of time on Yom Kippur, and you have Havsok or after Musaf before Mincha. And yet, the minhag is not to say Ketores after the Musaf. Although there are people who say it privately, but the minhag is not to say it on Yom Kippur. Now, before we say the Ketores, we have the Ein Kelokeinu Ein Kadonenu. What on earth has that got to do with Ketores? If you're saying the psukim from the Chumash, if I dab Hashem and say the Torah, you don't have a hakdoma, you say the psukim in the Torah. And the same thing here, you've got, we're saying the Ketores, so say the ingredients of the Ketores, or say the parasha of the Ketores, whichever it is. But what's Ein Kelokeinu got to do with it? Now, we don't say Ein Kelokeinu in Shacharis when we're saying the Korbanos, we don't say it there. But we do say it, when I say we say it, I'm saying on Shabbos we say it, and the Nusach Sfarad says it all the time. Why should Ein Kelokeinu not be before, and yet it is afterwards? What's the speciality of these words, Ein Kelokeinu? Next, what have I mentioned here? In addition to Ein Kelokeinu, the Nusach Sfarad, they say three psukim before that. They say Kaveh and two other psukim, not being Nusach Sfarad, I can't remember Baal Peh what they are. I think it was Mi Kelokah or something. The three psukim, which Ashkenaz does not say normally. We start Ein Kelokeinu, you know, we sing it Ein Kelokeinu. But Sfarad says Kaveh, three psukim, and then they start Ein Kelokeinu. Why are they adding these three psukim and why are we not doing that? Next. What is the inyan of Ein Kelokeinu, Ein Kadonenu, Ein Kemalkeinu, Ein Kemoshienu? Why those four words? You will find Kadosh Baruch Hu is described sometimes Avinu, sometimes he's got Goaleinu. But here, these four words are chosen over and over again in Ein Kelokeinu, Ein Kadonenu, and then me, and then Noida. What is all this repetition for in the Ein Kelokeinu? What's it all about? Why are we saying it? Why are we saying it all together? But now that we are saying it, why do we need all these different repetitions? Yes, sir.
In Eretz Israel, the Ashkenaz community do say.
In Eretz Israel, they've taken on a lot of the Sfaradim in Hogim, and there are certain in Yonim. I'm saying, when I say Nusach Ashkenaz, I'm saying our Nusach. You're quite right. In Eretz Israel, there are certain things where the Ashkenazim and the Sfaradim have come together. For example, you get that with the Vashomru on Friday night. Many places don't say it, like the Sfaradim, although I've seen some Sfaradim who do say it, believe it or not. And also, like Duchening, everybody Duchens in Eretz Israel, which is more like the Sfaradim do. Eretz Israel is not necessarily the pure Ashkenaz from Chutzlars. This is how life develops. But anyhow, our minhag needs explanation. Can you say it before dawn? If you know you're in a big rush and you have to daven, and you're not allowed to say the Krishna, etc., before dawn, but you are allowed to say certain things before dawn, you could say. There's a whole machlokus between the Mechaber and the Ramah about whether you can say Nosin Lechshev Chsechvi Vino before dawn. But the other brachas you can certainly say. We're not allowed to say Korbonus. So the Shaila is, can you say Pita Maktoiris? Is that considered as Korbonus or not? Vayadabe, you're not supposed to say, because that's Korbonus. But what's the din of Pita Maktoiris? So I come next. Why is there even a Shaila about it? There's a Shaila, and the halacha, do you know the halacha? The halacha is lechachila, no, but the avid you can. But not for Korbonus, and you're not supposed to say before dawn. Why should there be this distinction between ordinary Korbonus and the Ketoris? That's for those people who are actually saying it. Do you say it standing or sitting? What's the correct way to say it? Now, there are people who stand up for Korbonus. It's not our minig, we sit down for Korbonus. But there are people who stand up because when you're doing the Avodah, you've got to do it standing up. So what's the din about Kitmichos? Can you do it? Now, but that's in Shacharis. But I've never seen anybody stand up for Ketoris after Davni. For the Epitimaturis, everybody's sitting down. And then some get up for Kaddish, some don't get up for Kaddish, depending on your minute. But we can see there's a Shah. Now, there's a remarkable Aruch HaShulchan. I don't know if anyone knows about this Aruch HaShulchan. He says like this, that Koyanim should stand, but Levim Yisrael can sit. What's the pshat? Because a Yisrael and a Levi couldn't be Makkah the Ketoris. So it's irrelevant. This is just learning for us. But a Kohen, who's actually can be Makkah the Ketoris, he says he should stand. The problem with that is, we know that Shir Shel Yoim, we all say. We don't sing it, but the Levim, sing it, used to sing it. And the next question is the how can a Yisrael say the Shir Shel Levim, Hayomrim? And yet, that we know that we all say the Shir Shel Yom, and it's in the wrong place, because the Shir Shel Yom should be immediately after the Korban Tomid, after the Korbanus. So why do we push the Shir Shel Yom to after Musaf and Mishnah Ashkenaz? The Musaf Sfarad actually goes a little different. They say the Shir Shel Yom after Shacharis. There are people who say Shir Shel Yom after Shacharis. And there's a Shaila where to say Baruch Hinafshi on Rosh Chodesh. There are people who say Shir Shel Yom and Baruch Hinafshi immediately in Shacharis. There are people like us, Ashkenazim, who say Shir Shel Yom and Baruch Hinafshi in Musaf. And do you know, there's another Shita which says Shir Shel Yom after Shacharis and Baruch Hinafshi after Musaf. Why? Because the Shir Shel Yom was the Shir of the Korban Tomid, it went in the Shacharis. But the Baruch Hinafshi is the question about it, but it's probable from, if you make Hagor in the Sechus Sofrim, there's a bit of a problem of the Girsa in the Sechus Sofrim, but if you make the Hagor, you'll find that Baruch Hinafshi was said after Musaf. So that makes sense. Comes along the Morgan and everyone says, no. Now, you can say it where you like. The whole thing, if we had to say it because of the Beis HaMikdosh, because it was an angel, then only Levine would sing it. And also, why aren't we singing it every day? We should get tuned for it, have a nice tune for the Mishnah Shem. Sog the Mog and everyone. No, it's only a Zecha Ba'almo. Like the Afikomen on Pesach, it's not, you're not eating meat. Yeah, you have a Zecha to what went on. Since it's only a Zecha, it doesn't matter where you put the Zecha, he says. And it doesn't matter whether it's Davka Levine. Yisrael can also have the Zecha. And you don't have to necessarily sing it. We're not trying to do exactly like it was a Levine. Because we haven't got the Korban anymore. But we're making it, since it's a Zecha, it doesn't matter where you do it, you can do it where you like. Not everybody agrees with that, but that's what the Mogad of Ron Paskins, that you can say the Shir Shel Yom and Baruch Hinafshi anywhere in the davening, and it doesn't only for Levim. According to that, it gives you a little bit of leeway in the Ketoris as well. Really, the Ketoris should have been immediately after the Korban Tomid. And certainly shouldn't have been pushed to after Musaf. But now that we see that Mogen of Rom, that the whole thing is only a Zecha Ba'almo, then it makes a little bit more sense that we can say it where it's convenient to say it for whatever reason. We haven't come to why it's convenient, but you can, at least you don't have the problem. But that's a big kasha on the Aruch HaShulchan, because he's saying that a Kohen has to stand for it. But we see the Shir Shalom, not only Levim, everybody says the Shir Shalom. So why should this be different? So it's a big player that the Aruch HaShulchan actually says, and I don't know where that minig is, ever, I've never seen that minig, that Kohenim stand for Pitim HaKtoiris, but the Levim and Israel sit for it. That I haven't seen, I don't think it's there on Gunum in the Aruch. On the other hand, the Aruch HaShulchan was a big poisek. Certainly it was a Litvisher poisek as well, so he should be for the Ashkenazim. So I don't know why it hasn't been taken up.
Isn't that just a
zeicher
as well?
Yes, of course it's a zeicher. Yes, absolutely. Absolutely, it's a zeicher. And that's why I say people don't stand for it. I mean, they don't stand for it. I mean, they don't stand up for it. Yeah, you know what I mean. Yeah, okay. Let's see if we can get the rest of the questions. Now, I've asked it here. Why do we defer the Shir Shalom? I've just discussed that, so that one we've dealt with. Oh, finally, on last week's Sedra, we know that the Mizbach Azor was mentioned last. That's a famous question. Where did the Mizbach Azor, which people call it Mizbach, but it's really Mizbach Azor, why was it deferred from Parshas Truma and left out and said at the end of Tetzaveh? That's a famous question, but the answer to it is going to be relevant soon. Now, the other thing is, the Ketoiris was... You makriv the ketoiris on the Mizbach HaZohar, not on the Choshes. And the question is, why was it called a Mizbeach? It's not a Mizbeach. Mizbeach, we translate altar. It doesn't mean altar. Mizbeach means the place where you shecht. It's a shchitah house. It's a shchitah department. That's a Mizbach and a Choshes. You did the shchitah of the korbanos. Why was this article, it's called the Mizbach HaKetoiris, but not in the Chumash. It's called the Mizbach HaZohar. In the Chumash. Oh, Mizbach HaKetoiris. But why Mizbach? Give it a different name. Call it the Oron. Call it the Kufsa. Call it the Box. Call it the Argos. But it's, why on earth is it called a Mizbeach? You don't shecht on it. You bring the Ketoiris. The Ketoiris has no shechita on the Ketoiris. You're not shechting the Kabbalah. You're baking them. You're boiling them. Whatever you do with the Ketoiris, that it should have been called something else. It's what?
They correspond one to the other.
Oh, you do correspond, nochrein. Oh, but still, you can't call something by a wrong name just because the shulchan corresponds to the menorah in a way. You don't call it some menorah one, menorah two. I mean, it's ridiculous because the shulchan is a totally different object. If the mizbach haketoiris is completely different object from the mizbach hanachoshes, even though it's got similarities, so call them both ravuim. Or, you know, they're both cubes, or whatever you want to call them. But to call it a Mizbeach is a misnomer. So the question is, why is the Ketoiris called Zevach? So all these questions come together. Now, in order to answer these questions, you've got to have the key. Once you've got the key, you can then apply it as you need to. We've already mentioned that what we are doing is not identical with what they were doing in the Mishkan, or the Beis HaMikdash, because we can see that there are differences. Like you said, the Shir Shalom, it's a Zecher Ba'alma, so it's sort of a wider perspective, and therefore it's not important necessarily to have it in that exact spot where it should have been. But still, we need to know what's going on. The key is like this. The Korbanos which are said have the main purpose of Korbanos is to remind us of what went on in the Mishkan and the Beis HaMikdash, Uneshalmo Purim Sirseinu. In other words, we can't bring the Korbanos at the moment, but at least we can say it. And by saying it, it's as if we've done it. Because we say, if you can't do a mitzvah, learn the halachas of the mitzvah, and then that would be ke'ilu, you've been mekayim the mitzvah. So we learn, or we daven, we say the korbanos, and we say here at Tzunchir it should be ki'ilu hikravnu korban. You've got to be careful because there's certain korbanos you mustn't say that. Some people just say it willy nilly. You've got to be careful. You can't say ki'ilu hikravti tamid because Yochi can't bring the tamid. You can say ki'ilu hikrivu klal Yisrael is a tamid, or you can't say ki'ilu hikravti tamid. You've got to be careful. You can say if you're chayv achatos, or if I were chayv achatos, this should be ki'ilu hikravti chatos. That you can say. But you can't say ki'ilu hikravti tamid because he wouldn't bring a common tamid in the first place. You've got to be careful what you, the nusik which you use. You have to look in the siddur and check that the siddur is correct. But assuming we've got it correct, it is a form of substitution for the korban, and therefore it's going to have certain korban dinim. as the Aruch HaShulchan said. He said that we thought he's going a bit far, but he said a Kohen should stand up because a Kohen would be able to do it. We say it where it would be appropriate. We say it in Korbanos at the beginning. But there's another aspect to the particularly the Keturos, and that is we know that anybody who brought the Keturos became rich. It said, and therefore, it says in Mishnayos that the same Kohen could not do the Keturos every day. They'd have a different one every day. So that everybody could be a Mishtatef. Chadoshim lebekorim. Why? Because as it had this power to make a person rich, and they say the same thing at a bris, you have a sandik. The sandik is supposed to become rich. Why? Because it's like a mizbech, it's kilo ikrif ketoiris. And similarly, we also know that the ketoiris had this wonderful healing abilities. We see from Aaron HaKohen, he brought the ketoiris, and that protected Klal Yisrael. The ketoiris has the propensity to look after Klal Yisrael, to give them ashirus, to give them health, and to give us a protection. And therefore, it's kedai to say the ketoiris so that we should get that protective. Now, that explains, to some extent, if you briefly, to time. Better watch out the time. We've got that explains briefly why it would be appropriate to say it at the end of the tefillah. Why? Because if it's a korban dikah din, it's the beginning of the tefillah together with the korbanos. But if it's a din of, so to speak, looking after Klal Yisrael. When we go home, we want to take wealth, we want to take protection with us, then the obvious place is at the very end of the tefillah. It's the siyum of the tefillah. There's another sefer called Masas Kapai of Rabbi Cohen of Flatbush. He suggests also that the ketoiris is a protection against bad speech, against Lashon Hara and against bad speech. We know that the ketoiris was a protection against this sort of thing. And therefore he suggests that we say the ketoiris at the end of the davening, so that when you go home you should be careful, you shouldn't be saying things which you shouldn't be saying. Up now we've been davening. All the time you've been davening, you haven't said any Lashon Hara normally. although I mean, you can insult somebody even in the davening. If somebody gets a word wrong and you shout out publicly that he's got it wrong, that is a Lashon Hara. For example, there's a halacha that if a Baal Koira makes a mistake, the people shouldn't shout out and correct him, because he'd be embarrassed. So what you should do is there should be a gabba there. The gabba is not just to call people up and to sort the Koira. The gabba should be have a schumish in front of him, and he should be following the Kriya Satora, and if he still a hate, he says, just say that over again. So that the chap doesn't get embarrassed. People should know that. The Gabon is, there is a sefer of a hadrocha for Gabon. That should be put in the sefer. That the gabba, if he's busy with all the tzibur trying to find out who should get the aliyah, he should appoint a second gabba to do that, and there should be somebody standing next to the Baal Koira who can correct him quietly. But it's not right for the people at the other end of the room to shout out. Sometimes they shout out when they should never shout out altogether. For example, you know, they put a pausal form. If you don't get the, if you say Eretz instead of Oretz, it doesn't matter. But if you say Bo'o instead of Bo'o, then you've got to be Chayza. So you've got to know the halachas of what's what. But the important thing is not to embarrass somebody. So the same thing here. You can embarrass somebody in davening. It's not hard to hurt somebody's feelings in davening. But normally not. Normally you're davening yourself. But when you finish davening and you're going home, you've got to have speech protection. Therefore, the suggestion he suggests that just like when we finish Shmoneh Esra, what's the Siyum of Shmoneh Esra? Elokai Netzor L'Shadi Biro. Why choose that one? There were 14 different Nuschos in Brochus. They chose this one because when you finish Shmoneh Esra, be careful how you talk. Netzor L'Shadi Biro. Be careful. And therefore, we want to say when you finish davening, something which will protect us. And he says the Ketoiris has that function. And that would explain beautifully why it's at the end of davening. But now we see that there's two different functions. Now, if you could learn like that, it makes sense. The first one in Shachris is the Korban Dikadin, and therefore, maybe you can't say it at night. Maybe you've got the problem, like we said before, of Kohenim. The one which is after the Davening, that's got a din of Shmira. And therefore, it's got completely different rules and regulations, like the Pitimak Torahs. However, that would explain why it's at the beginning and why it's at the end. It does not explain Minhag Ashkenaz yet. Minhag Ashkenaz is we don't say it at all. Oh, I can understand why we're not going to say it in Shachris. Why? Because it's a korban dikidin. And the Ramah says that in Chas v'Shalom, you miss one ingredient out, because you're rushing, you miss one out, then you're chayiv misa. We don't want to be chayiv misa, but it's not to say it at all. So therefore, that would explain why we don't say it beforehand, some. But then, in that case, why do we say it afterwards? You've got the same problem. Ah, we haven't got the same problem afterwards. Because the ketoyrus afterwards... Why don't we say, I beg your pardon, the Sfari Nusach, there's no problem. But for afterwards, I'll mix something up. Let me just point another thing out. The reason why there are some people who say in Shachris, but not in, in Korbanot, but not afterwards, is because you're rushing. Well, you're rushing to get out. Now, you're not rushing normally, unless you're late for sure. Normally, you're daven properly, so there's no problem with saying Ketoyrus beforehand, even though it's a korban dikidin, because you're not in a rush. But afterwards, since you are in a rush, there's a problem that you may be, you'll miss something out. And therefore, those people who say ketoyrus in the korbanos and don't say it afterwards, there's a good explanation for it. However, our minhag is not said at all. Now, that means to say that we hold that the ketoyrus in beforehand, well, we couldn't say that because it was... even though we may not be rushing, but you might miss something out, we don't say that. But what about afterwards? Why can't we say it there? There's no problem. The answer must be that the Ramah holds it. Every time you say the Ketoyrus, it's got Tzvei Dinim. It's got both. Up to now, we're saying it's one or the other. So those people who say it before and not afterwards will hold. That's for one reason. But those that say it on both occasions, they don't worry about it. Either because the one afterwards is not worried about rushing, because it doesn't matter, because it's all about speech. Or, our meaning not said both times means that we hold that it's not a question of... not a question of one or the other. It's both. Whenever you say it, you've got both in it. That would explain exactly why the Ashkenazim don't say it. Now, what about Shabbos? On Shabbos, we're not rushing. And therefore, we can say it. Where do you say it? Well, it depends. If you say that the whole din is just for speech or it's for protection, then it's the best place to say it after Musaf. And you don't have to worry about missing anything out. Do you say it in Shachris? Well, that's the other question, whether how you do it. Our meaning is not to say it beforehand, but just to say it at the end. But at least we know why we say it on Shabbos. And now we understand why not necessarily on Yom Kippur. But the whole purpose on Yom Kippur, of this one, is not because of the korban, if it's afterwards. That's in Shachris, you'd say it in Yom Kippur in the morning, beforehand, in the normal way. But afterwards, after Shachris, you don't need to say it anymore. Because if the whole thing is for protection, you can't get a better protection than Yom Kippur. Nobody says Lashon Hara on Yom Kippur. Nobody. We've already prayed and prayed and prayed, as the Mefarshim say. So you don't need to say it again. So on Yom Kippur, it gets left out. That's perfect. Now, Shabbos, however, we don't say it at Mincha. Again, it's the same point. If it was a Korban Dikadin, you'd have to say it both times. But it's not a Korban Dikadin. It's just a din which is in order to give you protection and to give you the proper speech. Once is enough. So we need to do that. That explains all the way we do it. Now, the only question we haven't dealt with, have we got time?
Yeah.
Is the Ein Kelo Keinu, what is it? Now, why? So, if we say that it's just a korban dikadin, well, you know, what do you need Ein Kelo Keinu for? However, if you're going to say that it is a din that Kadosh Baruch Hu will give us what we want, you can't just say it. I'll say the Ketoyrus and Kadosh Baruch Hu will give me. No. You've got to have a Hakdomo. Ein Kelo Keinu. We want Kadosh Baruch Hu to reward us. You want Kadosh Baruch Hu to give you wealth. Remember who it's coming from. It's not coming just because you've said this. You're just going to say the Ketoyrus, I'll give it to you. No. Remember it's coming from the Ribbono Shel Olam. So that's the first explanation. It would explain beautifully. If it's not a Korban Dika Din, it's a din of... like we said, of thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for what we're going to get, then we have to have Hakdama. But the Olam HaTfilas gives a beautiful explanation. He doesn't quote from whom he's got it, he just says the Mefarshim say this. He says like this: the reason why we need to say this on Shabbos, Davka is this. On Shabbos we had, let's say, we have seven brochas times four for Musaf as well. So we're 28 brochas. We've also got the six brochas of Shalashudas, which we don't say during the week, because in the week you only have two meals. Shabbos you have a third meal, which is Aliyah Tzilas Yadayim and Hamotzi, and the four brochas of Benching. So you've got all together on Shabbos, how many brochas? 28 plus 6 is 34. During the week, how many brochas have you got in Shemoneh Esrei? You should leave out the Malam al Shin, and that's not the Kuli Alma. You've got 18 brochas in Shemoneh Esrei times 3, that's 54. We're 20 brochas short! So we've got to replace those 20 brochas. Well, we replace them not by saying Amen, by going to the toilet a lot of times, and by doing other things. That's how we replace the brochas, etc. And on Yom Kippur we take Pesamim, and so forth. But he says, no, we're going to replace it by Ein Kelokeinu. If you look at Ein Kelokeinu, there's four things for the Ein, there's four things for the Mem, four things for the Nun, and Aleph, Mem, Nun makes Amen. Ein Kelokeinu. Next one is Mi Kelokeinu, and then it's Noidel Elokeinu. So that's Amen. And then what? Baruch and Atah. You got Baruch and Atah. And each one is four, so five times four is 20. You've been Mamale the Brochas, which are missing on Shabbos, by saying it. So you should say with big Kavanah. Now, the next question is, all right, that's fine, we've got an explanation, beautiful explanation, as to why we say in Kelokeinu before the Ketores, but that still doesn't explain why we say, some people say Kaveh, and the three Pesukim. But the answer is very simple. The Gemara tells us in Brachos, if you daven, and you haven't had proper Kavona, daven again. And as this Ein Kelokeinu is an inyan of Tefillah, the Baruch and the Atah, etc., we are madgish, Kaveh Hashem, Kaveh V'chazet Yomega, do it again, have Kavona a second time. And therefore it makes sense to preface this little parsha with the Psukim of Kaveh. And that will explain why, during the week, is it said, if that's the purpose of Ein Kelokeinu, alright, I can understand the Korban Tomid, but why Ein Kelokeinu during the week? You can either say, because since they said it on Shabbos, they didn't want to be Mechalek, and therefore what they made it as a part of the Ketores, it doesn't hurt, it's a beautiful bit, and therefore once it got a hold on Shabbos, it was mispashet, so to speak, during that. That's the best that answer can do. But we don't say during the week for other reasons, but the ones who do say, do preface it by Ein Kelokeinu. And what's Ein Kelokeinu going to do with the week? It's all, if you're saying the whole purpose of Shabbos, the first explanation was that you've got to remember it comes from Hashem Yisborach, then it makes it also it works too, that's fine. But according to this explanation, you're going to have to say that it was from Shabbos it came during the week. In Yom Kippur, why don't we say in Kelokeinu and so forth? Why not? The answer is we've been davening already, you don't need any more. Yeah, and as far as the brachas are concerned, and Yom Kippur, we've got an extra tefillah.
You've got an extra brachas.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Oh, it's a bit dodgy, but we've got that too. Okay, yeah. Is it Tanya?
Yeah.
All right, okay. So, there's more, but that, once you've got the key, that's the point. You get the key that there are two aspects, and then you fit it in yourself to each different minute. Right. Okay.